This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is The Morning Run. You're with Melissa Chuang and Joyce this morning. It's coming up to 9 minutes past 6 o'clock. That was Baby by Devendra Banhart. And it's widely believed that young people are hopelessly devoted to social media like Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and Snapchat and the like. But for every young person hunched over a screen, there are others for whom social media no longer holds such an allure. Now, there are teens that are turning their backs on technology. In fact, there's more of them than you think. It's no longer cool to be on the gram, guys.
That's what this Guardian story says, right? I think you know. Do you guys remember what it was like when you were young, like in your teens? Do you remember?
Are you rebellious? Yeah. I was rebellious to the point of being contrarian.
Yeah. So if everybody's doing one thing, yes. And then you want to be the different guy, right? So everybody's got, in fact, I don't think you've got a Facebook account, do you, Melissa?
I don't. Well, that's just because I'm lazy like that, and I never got on Facebook, and then I just realized I didn't need it. But I do think so. I'm looking at some surveys here, and it turns out that people aged between 18 and 24 had significantly changed their attitudes towards social media in the past 2 years. I wonder, Joyce, whether it's because more of their parents are getting on Facebook and Instagram. They just don't want their parents to see what's happening there.
Well, there is a study that shows that the older generation actually are embracing social media more. This is the 45 plus age bracket. That's what The Guardian says. And the proportion of, you know, who values social media has increased from 23% to 28% in the past year. This is for the older generation. Mm-hmm. As for the younger ones, it looks like 66% of that demographic, I mean, they made the statement, social media is important to me. This was in 2016, but only 57% made that claim in 2018. So that has dropped from 66% to 57%. So less people are getting on to social media for the young ones.
Nothing could be more uncool than your parents being on the same platform as you. Nothing could be more of a deterrent.
Friend your parents.
yeah, you know what I mean, right?
You get that friend request from
your
parents. But yeah, you know, one of the younger interns in the morning in BFM was teaching me the other day this term Finsta, which is a fake Instagram account.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's a thing that millennials do. They have a Finsta where they just go and they show the side of them that they go and kind of get the likes, as they call it, do it for the gram. I'm learning so much lingo nowadays. But it really, I think, shows that there's this superficial level of social media that perhaps teenagers and young adults are just fed up of.
Yeah, I don't need to say, but even teenagers or young people, a lot of adults who are on Instagram or any other social media platforms, they present this image of themselves having the highest life, having parties, having the wealth, having status, and there's a huge dishonesty going on social media.
Like holidays, non-stop holidays,
constant. You know, whirlwind of fun and positivity. In real life, it's not like that.
That is true. I spoke to some friends about this. We had a conversation about this, and I asked my friends, you know, why is it that, I mean, it can be fake, as some people
Absolutely
view it, right?
Fake.
But some of my friends are saying that for them, they only want to post up for them, because it's like a memory, just to post. So my friend said, you know, I just want to post things that make me happy, that reminds me of the moment or of that particular holiday or of that particular event with family, friends, whatever, in their social media platform, whatever that is not...
kind of like a diary kind of thing. Like.
Yeah, if it's not positive, they don't want to be reminded of it. So they don't want to put that on there.
So I think that different people use social media differently for different gratification reasons. But I do believe that the younger generation are far more clued in than any other generation about the pitfalls of social media, about... I guess the dangers of an insensitive tweet, about the, I guess, how much you're exposed to in terms of privacy on social, or lack thereof of privacy on social media. I think the younger generation are aware of that. And this trend of scaling back or dialing back the social media usage, I think is great.
Yeah. And some of them are saying that they're switching off because they feel that, you know, a lot of people have switched off when it comes to face-to-face conversations. There's this person that was interviewed for the article that said that, you know, because of online bullying, that was the final straw for her. Mm-hmm. And that deterred her from going on to the whole social media platform because of that. So there are certain things that, I guess, in this day and age for the young people, it's very different than when we were younger.
Right.
You know, it's a whole different world, a whole different platform that they have to deal with.
It's transient, right? Because people leave and they come back to the platform.
Remember Friendster?
Did you have ICQ?
Friendster? Do you remember ICQ as well? Okay, IRC?
So you're right, Chuang. People come and go into different platforms, but I think what's happening is rather than making social media this, I guess, must do or must have part of your life, it's becoming more of a hobby as opposed to the reason for being on it and the need to connect and be liked.
But from a perspective of looking at it from the other side, if you do a wholesale rejection of the platform, if you just leave it and they don't come back to it forever, there's mm-hmm. a big danger because, just on the side, yesterday, I was told of a YouTube account by my friend's 9-year-old child. So I looked in this account. Actually, quite cool.
My friend's nine-year-old child
has a YouTube channel. So this
What's the content about?
He was just vlogging.
Okay.
You know? And he had edited the video. He had done some inserts. He had written. So then, you know, the thing is now the whole economy is moving online. There's stuff happening online which doesn't happen in the real world anymore. If you don't keep pace with the developments, you're going to be a dinosaur before you know it.
Nine-year-old is going to overtake you in video editing skills.
In terms of his adoption, in terms of his digital knowledge, in terms of his savviness around the platforms, plural, you know.
Amazing, right?
Yeah.
We have Samuel Tan weighing in on this conversation on Twitter saying, good morning, using Facebook is increasingly for older folks. Our kids just stop posting anything on Facebook, he reckons. Tell us what you think. Again, our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899 or tweet us like Samuel did on at BFM Radio. We've got a look at how a different generation is using social media after this. Specifically, should CEOs be using Twitter? Stay tuned. BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9. Steve Miliband there with the Joker. No Jokers here in the morning run. I'm Melissa Idris with Koo Soo Chuang and Joyce Goh this morning.
Forgot my name again.
Sorry. Koo Soo Chuang.
Chinese for little.
Listen, if you want to join this conversation or get in touch with us, please do all the way till 10 o'clock in the morning. Our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Now, speaking about tweeting, given the firestorm the Tesla CEO Elon Musk has stoked with his Twitter account, it's worth asking the question, should CEOs ever use Twitter? Because, you know, corporate bosses, they've got busy schedules and they've got the means and the resources to hire professional teams to look after their PR for them. But if you look at people like Donald Trump, for instance, the US president, he once told the Financial Times that he wouldn't have won the elections. He wouldn't have been in the White House office without the use of Twitter. What do you guys think about CEOs using Twitter?
Well, it depends. It depends, right? If you're a bit mad and you're not in touch with your emotions and you tend to go on these huge binges, and there have been reports of Elon Musk, let's just say, digesting alternative substances.
Or lack of sleep, or both,
which is even worse, then you shouldn't be on social media, period, not just Twitter. But then if you're in touch with your consciousness and you have an ability to market yourself quite savvily, mm-hmm. like Tony Fernandez, then you should. I'll give you an example, right? During QZ8501, when one of his craft went down...
In Indonesia?
Air Asia Indonesia. His ability to communicate what he was doing and communicate emotions and grief and response via Twitter, it really saved the airline, right? So...
And the airline's reputations.
Yeah, I guess there is a two schools of thoughts. I mean, there are the CEOs who just shy away from social media completely and they believe, and you have to go through so many hoops, so many gatekeepers just to get them for a yes, no comment, or I decline to comment, right? and then you have the ones like Tan Sri Tony Fernandez, you have the Dato Sri Nazir Razaks, who are quite accessible, and through social media, they do comment, and they're savvy when it comes to putting their message across.
Right.
But there's this fine line as well, like what happened to Elon Musk, what he did with Tesla, right? There's a lot of debate whether or not he should have gone to social media to announce that he wanted to take the company private. I mean, there are so many questions that there are stock market listing rules.
Yeah, that opened the floodgates it caused a lot of problems for Tesla, no doubt. But the way you're saying it, Joyce, I'm thinking, you know, the use of Twitter is about two-way engagement, right? So you tweet something out and then you respond. It's about being interactive. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of the people that you've just mentioned, for instance, the Dato Sri Nazir Razaks and all that, they may post something out, but how sure are you that they engage with people who write back, right? So it could be a carefully curated Instagram post or a carefully curated tweet, but how many times do you see them actually respond to the people who comment?
Okay, for Nazir Razaks, I noticed for his Instagram post, some of them he does communicate with, like some of the comments he does reply. Of course, not everyone. I'm not sure about his direct message, but there are times I've noticed where he does reply, but depends, you know. I'm not sure about Tony Fernandez. Have you guys noticed anything, whether he's engaged
on social
media?
Well, yeah, he does, selectively. I think these guys, you know how we're talking about social media being destructive or not destructive for the young?
Right.
Mm. For the older guys, and especially CEOs, those who are more savvy and those who are more in touch, they're using social media for strategic purpose, right?
Like for how?
Well, for example, to massage the image of the company that they represent and or themselves or the brands that they represent.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget, someone like Tony, he's got things that cater him. He's got QPR, he's got Tune Hotels, he's got Epsom School, Epsom College. You know, there's a lot of things that he wants to communicate about his brands, which he uses social media for. He's got 1.3 million followers, right?
Right.
There's no human possibility that you can respond to every single thing, every single post.
Unless it's your full-time job.
Unless
you know, you're someone like social media mogul Gary V or Gary Vaynerchuk.
In which case, then you're expected to.
Exactly. And your followers, you have millions of them, but they expect you to respond to almost every comment and tweet and engagement.
And
but
your model is predicated.
But it's your full-time job.
Correct. They have Vaynerchuk Media response to social media as well, right? But Tony runs an airline and Nazir runs a bank, right?
I do think, though, what I've seen in recent years is that when these corporate leaders or captains of industry put out social media posts and tweets like that, do you notice that it becomes a news item? I've seen news organizations lift as a tweet or a social media post and it becomes a news article. And I'm just wondering, well, you didn't actually call the guy to get the comment. You're just lifting something that he said on social media, which was carefully curated. And that's one way you can manage the media as a CEO.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll share a personal story. This is from a journalist point of view. I won't name which CEO, but he actually mentioned to us at the print newspaper, it says that, you know, actually, I can cut out the media because I can go direct because his base is quite big.
That's exactly what Donald Trump did.
You don't need the PR fillers anymore.
Yeah, so he said that, you know, I can cut through the media and cut through everybody and go direct if I want to, because he's talking about his base on social media.
Yeah, direct messages.
So you're right about Chuang cutting out the PR guys, cutting out the journalists. So you can speak directly to your base, as you said, Joyce. And that's exactly what Donald Trump did. And he bypassed everyone. And I thought that was, in terms of a social media strategy, a really effective strategy.
Well, if he makes sense when it comes to his posting, what comes out on his Twitter.
All right, we've got the 6:30 news bulletin coming up next, so make sure you stay tuned on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:40 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run. I'm Melissa Idris with Joyce Goh and Koo Soo Chuang. And that was my boyfriend John Mayer with his new song, New Light, written about me.
Brilliant.
That's a great song.
It is a great song.
Great all boyfriend right. as well, Mel.
Yeah, I landed a whale. All right, okay. So Monica Lewinsky walked out of an interview in Israel after she was asked about her relationship with Bill Clinton. Apparently, and this was a live interview on stage in front of an audience, and it was being recorded. And the interviewer asked a question: do you still expect a personal apology from President Clinton? And Monica Lewinsky then just got up very calmly. She got up and she exited stage left. And it
was not that gracefully.
Well, it was relatively calm. It's not like she threw a tantrum and got upset. She just heard the question, decided she didn't want to answer it. She got up and she left. And the question is whether that was the right thing to do, right? Are there topics? Later, she responded to comments online. She said it was because she felt the topic was off limits. So the question is, are there topics off limits if you are in that kind of a public forum?
But if you're in the public arena, if you're going for an interview, you should know. I mean, you should be expecting, or at least your PR people should brief you what to expect and train you to know what to expect. And you're Monica Lewinsky. That topic is definitely going to be in that list somewhere.
But it's been many years.
Yeah,
now,
but that is the only reason why she's a somebody now, right? And for you to not want to countenance anything about that.
True.
So you mean that's the reason for her
what else?
Celebrity.
Absolutely.
But she's also well known for being an advocate against anti-bullying online.
Yeah, la, but because she became an influencer on
the bullying. I didn't mean to say that double negative. So she's an advocate for anti-bullying online, not
correct.
Against it.
But she became a somebody for anti-bullying or whatever cause she's known for because she became famous for doing the things that she did with Bill Clinton in the White House. She's a nobody otherwise, la.
So are you saying that no matter who you are, there are no topics that are off limits when it comes to a news interview or if you're on a public forum? So let's just say, Khoo Soo Chuang, you're on stage and someone's interviewing you. Are there no topics that are off limits?
There are always topics that are off limits. But if you don't want to answer those things, don't go on stage. Don't put yourself in the public eye because you will get flayed, right?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. If you've got skeletons in the closet and you don't want those skeletons to come dancing
out.
But
who doesn't have
skeletons? Exactly.
I mean, all public personalities.
It's part of the game.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, nobody has, I mean, like you say, who doesn't have skeletons? That's true. But if you're going to be in the public arena, if you are,
you've got to take the
questions. Or a politician and all that, you should know what to expect. You could be politely decline answering it.
So
there's another way around it.
That's
where
PR
training comes. And that's how, you know, there's a way to take it, not just to walk out.
So I do quite a lot of this with, you know, executives.
With high-level people.
Training. But you've got to form an answer.
There's a way around it.
So you're saying that the walking out was actually the
bad
form. Was okay.
Not kosher.
Yeah, you can decline not to. For her, I guess, you can decline and say, you know, there's a way around answering it without answering it.
Yeah, I think we all do our jobs, right, at these types of platforms. So the journalists will have to do their jobs and ask the question. Mm-hmm. And you can do your job and say it's your prerogative. Or I really don't want to answer that. I think that topic's off limits. Or it's no longer something that's with, you know, I would like to discuss in the public arena.
Correct. Or you just sidestep the answer. Or you sidestep the question.
Correct.
Great question, Melissa. But let me tell you about my golf game on Sunday.
Well, I had lunch yesterday.
Yeah. And then you come out and you don't look like a bit of an idiot on stage.
What about the personal life or families? Is that an off-limits topic when it comes to, say, someone, a politician or a corporate leader? Is their personal life off-limits?
If they're Birkin handbags, they're not off-limits. Or if they're shopping trips to Paris with, government jets, then they're not off-limits.
What about children? Surely children are off-limits.
They're not off limits if they get government contracts worth hundreds of millions of dollars and they are moving share markets because of their affiliation or not otherwise with their politician, then they're not off limits.
Okay, that I agree with Chuang, but there's a business angle to it. There's a contract
angle
to it. Yeah, yeah. So it depends on the whole, there's a time and place for everything. For me personally, I feel from my experience interviewing people, you have the PR people coming. What are you going to ask? Can you don't talk this? Don't go there.
Well, again,
you don't
the PR people are just doing their jobs.
Correct.
So, right?
And then you have some CEOs who are really candid and frank and they'll say, please let her do her job. And they are able to handle the questions. I like that.
Exactly. You know, but equally, it's incumbent upon the journalists themselves to do the research. It's not journalistic integrity and principles to ask something which is unrelated. For example, if you're in charge of Department A, you can't ask about Department B, especially if Department B was before your time. Do you know what I mean? So we've got to have our own abilities.
You've got
as
to
well.
Know as well. Yeah. You can't put them in a position
correct.
Where they're
it's not a free for all. It doesn't work that way.
I agree.
Okay. Well, have you ever had anyone walk out of an interview that you guys did?
Not yet.
That is on your bucket list, I think.
Well, they might have.
Kambing, is it?
But me, not yet.
All right. Well, try not to do it on a live breakfast grill show because it's your. Okay, we've got more news and analysis after this. So stay tuned on BFM 89.9. BFM 89.9, 6:51 right now. You're listening to The Morning Run with Melissa, Joyce and Chuang this morning. Stevie Wonder there with Living for the City. Now, if you would like to get in touch with us this morning, our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899 or tweet us at BFM Radio. Loads of you have already weighed in on Twitter and WhatsApp. Now, we have Art and Design on Twitter weighing in on the Monica Lewinsky conversation. We asked if there are any topics that are off limits. This is after Monica Lewinsky walked off stage in a live interview in Israel. And Art and Design said that Monica Lewinsky is not a politician. She doesn't need to answer for it. Instead, she demonstrated to people being bullied that you can walk away from the bullies. If I could just clarify, this was after the interviewer posed a question about her relationship with President Clinton.
That's right. And she was 27 years younger than him at the time. James Nigam saying asking victims of abuse of their past is off limits unless they consent to talk about it.
There you go. I agree. I think that's true. Guna Neswaran also on WhatsApp saying that he enjoyed the discussion, but he reckons that she could have declined in other ways. Perhaps it's a bit too old of an issue to be brought up all over again. So perhaps walking off the stage might not be the best way. All right, well, tell us what you think. Again, our WhatsApp number, 018-789-8899.
Actually, yeah, that's a good point. You know, she could have said, are we still on this topic? It's been how long again?
To brush it off,
yeah.
Right? To brush it off.
Good point, James.
Well, one thing that the new Pakatan Harapan government cannot brush off are the support of the youth, right? So is the support of the youth. Now, despite voting overwhelmingly for Pakatan Harapan in GE14, apparently, according to a recent survey from Iman Research, youth are now wary of the new government and they are considering supporting other political parties.
Yeah, so they're looking at more of the personality, the person, the politician, rather than parties. And the Think Tank's program director, Bajo Hisham, explained that, you know, these youth, what they're more concerned about is what these politicians could offer them rather than what the party represents. And you can see that it's more of, they're more inclined to switch sides if they're not happy in the upcoming GE15.
And that can only be a good thing, because if you don't deliver, then you're out of the job. Mm-hmm. It's the same thing in corporate life. If you don't, as a CEO, don't deliver results over 3 years, then sorry, la, sayonara, right?
I know, but the timing, Chuang, I mean, it's only been 3.5 months,
that's
right?
That's okay, so because they've got a 5-year-long mandate, right? And don't forget this. Okay, I just want to say some stats, right? 41% of GE14 voters in GE14 were aged between 21 and 39. But the study quoted in this particular survey by Iman Research said that there's only 40 participants that were surveyed. So that's not exactly a huge survey of the sample size of the country, right? But I would say that it's a positive thing, because if it's a politician, you don't deliver over your 5-year term, then you get voted out. And that's how democracy works.
And this is what people are saying. If you have a two-party system, in a way, it keeps the checks and balances in place. So you can always, you know, it's not, people are just not too comfortable. You know, if you have a party that's been in power and if they know that or they cannot lose, they're just too comfy, right? And in a case, if you know that you've got to keep to your mandate, you've got to keep to your KPIs, you've got to do the job. So, you know, I guess sometimes comfort zone's not good.
Absolutely.
It's good to keep them on their toes.
No human being is incorruptible. Mm. Period. Full stop.
True. Right? And, I do think, though, that it is somewhat premature to be doing surveys like these, and asking whether you would want to switch your allegiances so quickly without seeing concrete results, right? What I'm saying is that you yourself may not be able to make as many changes you want in 3 months in your own personal life, let alone undoing 60 years of an entrenched way of governing a country. So for me, I think there should be some measure of consideration and hesitance in the part of this knee-jerk reactions, perhaps on the part of the youth. Also, surveys like Iman Research may be a little bit premature at this point in time. But no doubt, I think one of the key findings within this research has been the suspicion that youth has had in general, the youth respondents of the survey has had for Wan Azizah, the Deputy Prime Minister Dato' Sri Wan Azizah, Dr. Wan Azizah, as well as Dato' Sri Anwar Ibrahim. And I think comes from it being there being a generational gap. Perhaps youth have not gone through the reformasi era, are not kind of clued in or plugged into that that history, so may not have the same kind of baggage or sentiments that an older generation might have.
Yeah, I agree with you. But, you know, positive bias here. Surveys like this remind the politicians and the you know, the office bearers today that they've got to be doing their work 24/7, 365. This doesn't come with perks and privileges. You know, being a politician is not about the VIP status. It's about serving the people.
That's true. But sometimes you don't see the good work that's happening behind the scenes, right? Say they're not broadcasting it on Twitter and social media and Instagram. Can the younger generation know and appreciate the work that goes into governing a country if it's not being broadcast on social media?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good point, Mel. And you know, this brings the point to, in this survey as well, they're saying that Kyrie, he gets the thumbs up when it comes to the opposition. Because the week, what they say is that the youth were dismissive of the present opposition party, seeing them as weak. But they think that Kyrie is a standout
and
leader.
And you know why?
Do you think it's because of social media?
That's precisely why. It's because he's been quite vocal on social media. He uses Twitter as a platform to respond to things. And great for him. Mm. More politicians should be like that, but is that why he's getting the likes?
But if, as a politician, which is your job as a politician, is to gain popularity for what you do, if as a politician you don't embrace social media and communicate what you do, then you have also fallen behind in your duties.
I'm seeing a bit of a theme this morning, isn't it? The use of social media and how it can actually propel you forward, but if you misuse it, can take you several steps back. Hiswani Hassan on Twitter has said that for youth, changing parties they support is like changing handphones. Okay.
Well, yeah.
Your opinion. All right. Well, tell us what you think. Again, our Twitter handle is at BFM Radio and our WhatsApp number is 018-789-8899. We've got the 7 o'clock news bulletin coming up next right here on The Morning Run, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.